In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to be a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus, thank you. And on this Christmas Eve, as we reflect and contemplate on the glorious, miraculous, awe-inspiring reality of the Incarnation, I pray, Lord, that you would come by your Spirit and give us eyes to see and ears to hear. The gospel passage that Sarah read for us tonight is followed up immediately by Mary and Joseph doing what most parents would have done about 8 days after Jesus was born. They took him to the temple to be circumcised. And when they enter into the temple, they have a pretty powerful encounter with a man named Simeon, a man who has always caught my wonder, caught my attention, and more as I get older, my respect. Simeon was a man who spent a lot of time in the temple. They tell us that he was a very elderly man, very later in his life, and he lived with a really strong awareness of many of the prophetic words that we've been reading over the season of Advent. As you look back in the prophets and you hear things like what Beth read for us today, written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, and to read them in light of Christmas, to read them in light of the Incarnation, they make so much sense, don't they? It's beautiful to see how God promised and was faithful. But Simeon, like many who had gone before him, lived with those prophecies only as that, prophecy, unfulfilled. It's interesting that it's said of Simeon that he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures don't speak of many people that way in the Old Testament. But here is a man who is very near to God, full of the Spirit, and he was waiting, the language says, for the consolation of Israel, for the comfort of Israel. I don't know if you have these moments in your life right now, but when I walk through our city right now, I have many times when I'm excited. I love our city. I think there's beautiful things about our city. The culinary scene gets better and better, which I'm excited about. There's things about our city that are really exciting and celebrated. But there are signs and marks throughout our city of the darkness and the brokenness of the world around us, of how incredibly difficult life can be. We've got a good friend now who's part of our church who helps to bring leadership to the team over at the Gateway of Hope, Salvation Army. Many of you have had the chance to go to Raphael House and serve, or to be at Wagner Hills, and to come alongside people who help us to remember that life isn't just easy. And there's a reality to which, in our lives, we often stand in need of consolation. That alongside the joy of life, there also is a need for comfort. And it's very real. It's not trivial. It's not to be downplayed. The number of times that I bump into people going through very real things who want to trivialize it because in their mind it's not as bad as someone else. Friends, God sees you, He knows where you are, and He knows what you need. And if you have wondered about that, been curious about that, let Christmas be a reminder to you this year that when He saw the darkness, He came and dwelt among us. Simeon lived with this deep hope and expectation. The scriptures tell us, Luke says, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Under the throes of Roman rule, under oppression, watching the darkness, living in the midst of that time in our human history. And he was waiting, but waiting like we've talked about in Advent. Not waiting kind of like on a prayer, like he was waiting with confident hope. In fact, he had come in one time of prayer with the Lord to a convinced place that the Spirit had told him he would not die until he'd seen the fulfillment of the prophecy, that he would meet the Messiah. And so he went to the temple day after day, and he waited. And he wondered, is today the day? And then one day, a young couple, new parents, bring their infant to be circumcised. And when Simeon sees them, the scriptures tell us that he takes Jesus up into his arms and declares, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. I can go. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Take it in for a moment. A man who has lived devout, committed to prayer, committed to the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, waiting, holding a promise. And throughout Advent, we've talked a lot here to Mayus Road about the challenges that come with holding promise. With holding promise ready and believing. Holding promise when it takes a lot longer than we thought. And here's a man who faithfully did that. And it says of Simeon that when he came to the temple that day, he came in the Holy Spirit. That he arrived there and was postured in the Holy Spirit. And I think there lies for us this Christmas an incredible encouragement. How is it that this man sees a young couple, probably in the throes of, 3 hours of sleep over the past 5 or 6 days, carrying not only the weight of parenthood, but the weight of parenthood marked by messianic prophecy. And when he sees them and sees the infant in their arms, he knows it's the Messiah. John, in the gospel, in his prologue that I read, said, he came to his own, and his own did not know him. What's the difference? Here was a man who had eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit was doing and saying. He didn't put that together in his own intuition, based on his own logic. If anything, what he was encountering was the opposite of logical. Waiting for the consolation of Israel and seeing it in the face of an infant. But it also blows me away to think of Simeon, and I love that God did this for Simeon. He does see, he knows who that infant is. Imagine, as a man, as a woman of flesh and blood, to take then the creator of the world into your hands, up into your arms. To receive him, to let him come close, and then to declare to the nation, God is faithful. The Savior has come. The Lord is here. Rembrandt, a famous painter, was enamored with this story. He painted depictions of it many times and even tried to include pieces of it throughout much of his art. But this was one of his earlier paintings, and it is kind of small here. I'm going to get it blown up in a second, but this is a depiction of the moment we've just described by Rembrandt, painted in 1632. It's called Simeon's Song of Praise. I printed it on some 4x6 photo paper at the back. There's about 30 of them, so first come, first serve. You can take them with you if you want to reflect more this summer or this Christmas. But Anya, if you'll go to the next slide, I want to look at three observations I think Rembrandt helps us with. First of all, in the center, you have the infant. You have the child, and I think probably in some respects, you have Jesus as Simeon saw him. I'm not sure that everyone would have caught what was happening, but in the painting, the light in the painting, which is something that you always want to pay attention to in a Rembrandt, where is the light? And the light in this painting is coming from the infant. Jesus is the source of light in this painting. And so the first observation as we come into this Christmas is just that beautiful remembrance from the Gospel of John. Here, Rembrandt's remind us that Christ came like light into the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That Christ is the light of the world. And so if you have parts of your heart, parts of your life right now that feel dark, they feel like a little bit hard to navigate, you feel a bit lost, I invite you to reflect this Christmas on Jesus, the light. But secondly, in this painting, to reflect a little bit on Simeon himself, who we see on the far right. Simeon, who takes this baby up into his arms, and I love how Rembrandt captured the awe and the wonder of an old man seeing a long-held promise fulfilled. On Sunday, we had a family service, and partway through, I took I took Ember into my arms. And even as I held her and talked about what it was like to meet her when she was even smaller than that, it was incredible. It's incredible to hold a human being at that point in their life. And here he is holding all of heaven and earth in his hands, and out from Simeon comes worship. It says that he blesses God. And then you see kind of in behind him, if we were to go back out to the whole painting, there's all kinds of people at the temple. It's a busy place. And so as Simeon cries out and begins to sing his prophetic song, the world hears. And when he talks about who this infant would be for the Gentile, who he would be for the Jew, Gentiles and Jews are hearing. And so here is a man ready, full of the Holy Spirit, and so able to see and hear, but then ready to proclaim. The promise is fulfilled. The Lord has come. And I love that in Rembrandt's painting, Simeon's face looks like he may have just met the Lord. Finally, on the left, we see Mary and Joseph. And I marvel to look at Mary and Joseph here, to think, even for a moment, what it would be like to take all of this in. But I love how Luke sums it all up when he simply says, Mary and Joseph marveled at what they heard. They just sat back. And they took it in. In the gospel reading that Sarah read for us, we also see Mary treasuring these things in her heart, marveling, just taking them in as the shepherds come. But here again is Simeon, and then if we had time, we could keep going and look at Anna, and as these prophets receive Jesus. And in many ways, we see here the prophecies fulfilled. I'm reminded of, is my phone there? Can I grab that? I'm reminded of the part of the story of Jesus' birth where Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem and there's nowhere to stay. And again, what the irony of this, right? The beautiful metaphorical picture that's happening here. Here comes Jesus and there's nowhere for him. And yet this innkeeper, somewhat unaware, I believe, makes the space he had available. He opens up a stable, and inside of it, a manger becomes the place for the Lord to come into this world, for God to take on flesh and to begin dwelling among us. And I thought about that a little bit, and it reminded me of a piece of artwork that Anna actually did for a friend of ours named Luke when he put together an album that he wrote. Some of you will remember Luke from our conference. He led worship. And the EP was called The Heart House. And the picture that Anna helped to visually capture was one that God actually gave to Luke in a dream. And I thought about this as I thought about the stable and how in many ways as we come into this Christmas, friends, we are a little bit like a stable. Our lives like a place where there is room. And our hearts, the depths of our souls, a bit like a manger. And we have the opportunity today, again, to invite Jesus to take up residence there in that home. To come in and to take up residence in that space. Rhett, if you can make sure my phone will make sound there. I'm going to play for you a song by Luke. The lyrics will come up as it goes, and then we'll close in prayer.
stay with me. Every part is yours. From the holes of my heart, stay.
Pray together. Friends, my prayer for you this Christmas, and even now in this moment, is that you would, like Simeon, have eyes to see and ears to hear. The Holy Spirit would come and that he would bring revelation to us. That he would show us what it looks like to open our lives up like an innkeeper opened his stable, like Simeon opened his arms. And maybe tonight you're here and you've never opened your heart, your life up to Jesus. You've never made space for him to be Lord of your life. What an incredible moment to be able to this Christmas invite him in. And so Jesus, we ask that you would come and that this next 12 days of Christmas would be days of healing, that they would be days of transformation, days of renovation. Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would give to us eyes to see you, ears to hear you. I pray for any of my friends here tonight who feel like they can't see you, who can't hear you. I pray, Spirit of God, would you come this Christmas? And in and amongst all the comings and goings of these next days, no matter what they look like, that we would have testimony on testimony of those who, like Simeon, saw and heard. Lord, breathe life into us. Friends, as we prepare, we're going to come to the table in a moment, and I love the language in Luke's song about dusty rooms. Because maybe there's some parts of our lives as we've sat and we've reflected where we realize we don't come quite as ready as Simeon was. And so I want to give you just a moment for private confession right now. For an opportunity to just be honest with the Lord about the state of your home, the state of your heart. And if there's any part of it that seems to maybe have been a bit closed off to him or grown a little bit dusty, damp, to just lift that to the Lord in confession, and then to receive his work there. to come in forgiveness and to open those parts of your life up again to see and to hear. Take a moment for private confession, and then we'll join our prayers together.